The Senate will convene as a court of impeachment.
The trial of the U.S. president is underway. This is Wednesday, the 22nd of January, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Also, coming your way, the new Chinese Wuhan virus has spread to the United States. North Korea apparently has appointed a new foreign minister. It could mean an even tougher international stance, and there is more to that story. We'll tell you about it. And a mass walkout at a Chinese casino. All on today's VOA Asia. Stay with us. The impeachment trial of U.S. President Donald Trump began in full Tuesday in the U.S. Senate with a spirited debate over the rules governing the third such trial in U.S. history over whether a president should be ousted from the White House for allegedly violating his oath of office. Trump's chief lawyer, White House counsel Pat Cipollone, called a proposed timeline for the trial of only 2 days for opening arguments by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and parameters for the trial a fair way to proceed, one that he said will result in the president's acquittal on 2 articles of impeachment because he has done absolutely nothing wrong. However, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer took issue with McConnell's original timeline.
He could force presentations to take place at 2 or 3 in the morning so the American people won't see them.
McConnell backed off his plan for 12-hour sessions from Wednesday through Saturday this week that could have kept the Senate in session late into the evening for 4 straight days. Instead, he cut his proposed sessions back to 8 hours each, with House managers prosecuting the case against Trump over 3 days and Trump's lawyers defending him in another 3 days of 8-hour sessions. VOA congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson is covering the proceedings. She joins us now live from the Capitol. Catherine, how important was McConnell's change of mind on this thing? How does it affect the case against the president?
Well, I think what's more important is why and who influenced him to make this change. And reportedly, that was Senator Collins from Maine, who is always something of a swing vote on some key issues and is looked at in this impeachment trial as a possible swing vote in terms of getting some of those witnesses to testify, that key Democratic demand. And, you know, if push comes to shove, if Democrats need to, charge Trump in this trial, they would need a vote like hers to make that happen. So it's really important to see that she does have some sway with McConnell. She was able to make this change. And the trial itself will play out a little bit differently. Because of this change, we will have the House impeachment managers making their case Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday now. And the Trump lawyers will start to make their case on Saturday. Now, that's an interesting point because we know that people of the United States may not be listening or watching as much as the Trump lawyers get to make their first case.
And longer hours for people who are covering it. Now, overall, though, how would you characterize these opening statements and arguments on this first day? Still going on now.
That's right. And we're in a flurry of procedural motions. Basically, what's been happening today is this partisan back and forth about the very nature of the rules of the game here in the Senate trial. The Democrats are arguing that evidence, documents, witnesses should be admitted into the trial at the beginning. They're saying that, look, if we're holding this as a trial, we have to hold it as an actual trial where the jurors, that would be the U.S. senators, get to hear the evidence first, whereas Mitch McConnell is making the argument that they should rely on precedent. The precedent by the Clinton impeachment in 1999, and in that impeachment, opening arguments started first, and then witnesses were heard. So a lot of back and forth today, a lot of amendments, a lot of votes. We'll be going well into the night with this fight.
Does this portend these changes by McConnell to make it a much longer process than he would have liked it to be?
I don't think it would be significantly longer than he would like it to be. We, at this point, didn't know how long it was going to run because, of course, we still haven't settled that issue of witnesses. Mitch McConnell says that that will be considered after the opening arguments. He said that it would be a speedy trial. But, of course, you know, we're already lengthening out already. You know, there's very, very hard to predict an impeachment trial because each impeachment is very different. As Democrats are pointing out, this is a completely different set of issues and concerns than the Clinton impeachment. So the rules, they argue, don't really apply here.
Catherine Gibson is VOA's congressional correspondent. She's been with us live from the Capitol. Catherine, as always, thanks so much.
You're so welcome.
These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at voanews.com. An independent panel created by the Myanmar government has concluded that government security forces did commit war crimes against Rohingya Muslims, but that they did not commit genocide against the ethnic minority. Indonesia unleashed a flood of announcements about moving its capital out of Jakarta from a possible $40 billion from the world's biggest tech investor to a new advisory panel that includes former UK Premier Tony Blair. China is raising pressure on Indonesia over rights to use a contested tract of sea and challenging the militarily weaker Southeast Asian country to consider options from friendly dialogue to strong protest. Read and watch more on VOA Asia, Facebook, and Twitter. VOA Asia continues. Chinese health experts confirm the new coronavirus that has now killed four people is contagious, raising fears that the virus could spread quickly among people. China's government believes the coronavirus outbreak in the central Chinese city of Wuhan will be brought under control. Health officials in Wuhan, where the outbreak began, say the number of cases now exceed 200, with most of the confirmed cases described as mild. The latest confirmed fatality is an 89-year-old man in Wuhan. Health officials are urging caution but say there's no reason to panic. The World Health Organization is not recommending against travel to China, and China's National Health Commission says the current outbreak is preventable and controllable. Lisa Schlein has the story from WHO headquarters in Geneva.
The World Health Organization calls the coronavirus a fast-moving disease and says the number of cases and deaths is changing quickly. The agency is stepping up measures to get to the source of the infection as quickly as possible and to provide the public with information it needs to protect itself. The WHO will be convening an emergency committee meeting Wednesday to see whether the virus constitutes a public health emergency of international concern. A team of experts is in the city of Wuhan, China, where the outbreak occurred. The experts are working with local health officials to investigate the source of the disease. WHO spokesman Tarek Shazarovich says not much is known about the new coronavirus. He says how the disease is transmitted, its severity, the extent to which it has spread, or its source are unclear.
Based on current information, an animal source seems the most likely primary source of this outbreak, with limited human-to-human transmission occurring between close contacts. Based on previous experience with respiratory illnesses and in particular with other coronavirus outbreaks and our analysis of data shared by China, human-to-human transmission is occurring.
Jazarovic says human-to-human transmission appears to be limited and it occurs between people who are in close contact with each other. He says the coronavirus infection can cause mild to severe symptoms and can be fatal, but reports of some new cases, he says, have tended to be mild. The coronavirus was discovered at the end of last year in a fish market in Wuhan. The World Health Organization says it is spreading widely, and more cases should be expected in other parts of China and possibly in other countries in the coming days. Fears are growing that the mysterious virus could sicken a great many people during the upcoming lunar holiday, a time when millions of people in China travel within the country and abroad to be with their families. A number of airports around the world are screening travelers for the infection. The World Health Organization says that is one of the measures countries can use to identify possible carriers of the disease. However, it says the current known risks do not justify restrictions on travel or trade. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
As you just heard from Lisa Schlein, this is the start of one of the heaviest travel period of the year in Asia, perhaps the heaviest. VOA's Lata Tahoke has more on what that might mean to the spread of this new virus.
China's Spring Festival, which celebrates the start of a new year, according to the lunar calendar, starts on January 25th this year. People across the country are traveling to celebrate the holiday with family and friends, so trains, buses, and planes are crowded. The news that a new strain of coronavirus can be transmitted from human to human did not seem to deter Chinese travelers in Beijing on Monday.
I think it's fine. The government is providing enough information on this, and there are strict methods to control the virus. We don't feel particularly worried about the situation.
We have to be extra careful with our kids. We brought medicine with us.
I'm not particularly aware of the situation, but the news says it's limited to Wuhan.
The new strain of coronavirus causes lung problems. Some of the new cases are among the medical staff who treated the patients. Japan, Thailand, and South Korea say they have identified the virus in several patients who recently arrived from China, sparking fear of a global outbreak. Chinese President Xi Jinping has ordered measures to prevent the spread of the virus.
The Chinese Centers for Disease Control were very quick in getting the gene sequence of the virus out and making it available. And tests for the virus, molecular tests, have been developed in several countries. So it might be possible that they can be used on the ground in China very soon.
British biomedical expert Derek Gatherer says it may be hard to provide enough testing facilities for all the people who may suspect that they have this particular virus.
We have to remember also that we're in the middle of a flu season, and many people will have influenza. In fact, quite a lot of the initial suspected cases, including 70 or so suspected cases in Hong Kong that were identified last week, turned out not to be this virus, but to be influenza or something else.
U.S. health authorities have ordered screening of passengers arriving from Wuhan, China, at the international airports in San Francisco, New York, and Los Angeles in an effort to reduce the virus from spreading. Zlarica Hoke, VOA News, Washington.
Well, new news that had just broken over the past few hours. A traveler from China has been diagnosed in the western U.S. city of Seattle with the Wuhan coronavirus. That according to a spokesman from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Last week, the CDC began screening travelers from China in three U.S. airports, as you just heard. But these late reports say the infected traveler arrived in the United States before those inspections at the U.S. airports began. This is VOA Asia. Happening now in Asia, former Interpol chief Meng Hongwei has been sentenced to 13 and a half years in prison after admitting he accepted more than $2 million in bribes. His wife remains in France with the couple's two children. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. North Korea said Tuesday that since the United States had ignored its deadline for nuclear talks, it is no longer bound by its commitments to halt nuclear and long-range missile tests. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un had set a year-end deadline for denuclearization talks with the U.S. and White House officials, saying at the time that the U.S. had open channels of communication. However, talks remain stalled, and Pyongyang says Washington has not offered enough concessions. The North Korean announcement at the United Nations in Geneva comes as Pyongyang apparently has appointed a new foreign minister, Ri Sun-kwon, in another sign that the country might be realigning its foreign policy. VOA Seoul correspondent Bill Gallo has been covering the story. He spoke earlier this day with International Edition editor Kate Pound-Dawson about the diplomatic developments.
Yeah, so this is a former senior military official in North Korea's army. He is known for having sort of a blunt-speaking demeanor. He led several North Korean delegations and inter-Korean talks, and at those talks, he was sort of known as a guy who would make sort of insensitive, straightforward-type jokes, and none of the jokes I actually read in the Korean media made any sense in English, but suffice it to say that they were considered controversial to South Korean media. He just speaks his mind, He has quite a reputation for being blunt talking.
So what does the this change in the foreign ministry mean in both North Korea's relationship with South Korea and with the U.S.?
Well, on the one hand, North Korea has given every sign that it is sort of tired, is done with diplomacy with the United States, especially regarding nuclear talks. So this could be the latest evidence that North Korea intends to take a hardline approach. However, a lot of analysts that I've talked to today have cautioned that, look, it's not as if his personality, this new foreign minister's personality, is going to play a big part in what he does in North Korean foreign policy, which is totally dictated by Kim Jong-un. The foreign ministry is not actually that powerful when it comes to forming policy. It does play a role in implementing and sort of trying to carry out whatever Kim Jong-un decides. But, you know, regardless of whether this guy tends to be brash or brute or whatever the adjective may be, he'll probably do what Kim Jong-un says.
Now, this new change at the foreign ministry in North Korea comes at a time when the South Korean relationship with the U.S. government, its chief ally, is a bit strained. What's going on there?
Well, the biggest issue is the cost-sharing debate. The United States and South Korea failed to reach an agreement on how to split the cost of the 28,500 troops that are in South Korea. This is the second straight year that happened. The deadline was actually the end of the year, so we are now a few weeks past due on that. It is expected they will eventually reach a deal, but this has caused quite a strain on the relationship. And the U.S. Ambassador Harry Harris, a former Navy admiral, has sort of taken the role here in Seoul of playing the bad guy in a lot of ways. He talks to media and will, you know, consistently push the U.S. demand that South Korea increase the amount that it pays for the U.S. troops, and he's been villainized quite a bit for that.
That was VOA's William Gallo in Seoul speaking with Kate Pound Dawson. You're listening to VOA Asia.
Your requests, your dedications, and interviews and performances by your favorite music superstars. It's Border Crossings. This is Larry London. Be sure to tune in every Monday through Friday at 15 hours Universal Time on VOA or online at voanews.com. You've got control. Border Crossings, weekdays at 15 hours Universal Time at voanews.com and the Voice of America.
This news from VOA Asia, the United States is urging China to join trilateral nuclear arms talks with Moscow, calling Beijing's secrecy around growing stockpiles a serious threat to strategic stability. You can visit VOA Asia Facebook every day for top stories and great features to see and share. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues now with Business Scene. Some 3,000 workers joined the rare walkout in front of the Naga World Complex in the capital of Phnom Penh, one of around 100 casinos which have shot up many in the past few years to serve a flood of Chinese customers across the kingdom. The protesters held banners and cheered as dozens of police officers watched over the protest. The Hong Kong-registered owner, Nagacor Limited, has a 70-year lease on the casino and says it made a profit of $245 million, mainly from its Cambodia operations in the first 6 months of 2019. The protesters are also demanding the reinstatement of a union president who was suspended by the company in September after she tried to protect a worker's rights. The company made a huge profit in recent years, said Sidhar, the suspended union official.
We are demanding the company increase the salary to up to at least $500 a month for employees working in the casino section and up to at least $300 for employees working in the hotel section.
Company management could not be reached immediately for comment. Some 8,000 people have been laid off from their casino jobs in Sihanoukville. Tens of thousands of Chinese gamblers have fled, while some planned casinos have been left half-finished. Mastering the mighty Mekong, China wants to take full control of Southeast Asia's biggest river. The waterway feeds millions from Tibet through Myanmar, Laos, Thailand, Cambodia, and Vietnam before emptying into the South China Sea. But Chinese dams upstream have for years disrupted the flow and the water level. Many fishermen have been forced out, but Suk is staying put for now.
This year is the worst. The water is too low. I have to fish and fish again to catch one.
A stretch of just 97 kilometers is all that now stands between Beijing and outright domination. China plans to blast the rapids and dredge the river so huge cargo ships and maybe military vessels can pass. Fierce protests from locals prompted China to put the plans on hold. Beijing says the changes will benefit everyone, increasing trade and generating wealth. It sees the Mekong as the nerve center and a network of industry and transport links. The history and traditions of people here are linked to the river. They're worried by China's ambition. Local people and the environment versus business and geopolitics. Big themes playing out on the slow-moving river. I'm Ira Melman with Business Scene. Here's a news break from VOA Asia. Rescuers began digging through several feet of snow at two mountainside locations in Nepal Tuesday, where four South Korean trekkers and three Nepali guides are thought to be trapped. The hikers have been missing since Friday after being swept away by an avalanche in the region of Mount Annapurna, the world's 10th highest mountain. Now on VOA Asia, an immersive art installation in New York City has visitors captivated. The team behind the popular attraction, well, part human and part machine learning algorithms. VOA's Tina Trin looks at what happens when artificial intelligence becomes part of the creative process.
It's a psychedelic reverie of patterns and colors, an art installation in New York that unfolds in front of viewers in a daydream loop. Rafiq Anadol is the human artist behind Machine Hallucination, but his co-creators are algorithms developed by researchers at NVIDIA.
I'm heavily inspired from science fiction, and I'm speculating about our near-future experiences where AI, neuroscience, and architecture collide. In this project, the story is literally an AI goes online and downloads 113 million images of New York.
Algorithms were programmed to gather publicly available images of New York landmarks from social media.
So we focus on collective memories specifically, the buildings, the architecture. Like if you look at Flatiron or if you look at an Empire State, we have like millions of images looking at the same building from multiple angles.
The resulting set of images and memories is a window into what the artist calls a machine's mind. Essentially, it's artificial intelligence. But Anadol wanted to explore whether this same machine mind had a consciousness.
The machines now can learn. And of course, as an artist, I'm asking, like, can they dream?
His studio developed additional software that was applied to the dataset to generate a multidimensional, dreamlike universe that's ultimately rooted in real-life images. Anadol refers to the digital medium as latent cinema, cinema in an age of machine intelligence.
I'm heavily critical about how these technologies are evolving and what they are actually saying to us. So maybe this is one way of understanding how the technology can really be used beyond just fearfully thinking. What else we can do with that is a very, I think, important question.
For this artist, the virtual brush is being dipped into a machine's mind.
I feel like I have a tool that allows me to make the invisible more visible.
Opening viewers' eyes and imaginations. Tina Trin, VOA News, New York.
Here's a reminder to you to keep in tune and keep online listening to VOA. We have all the updates as far as the presidential impeachment trial goes. You've been listening to VOA Asia. Get our program on iTunes and SoundCloud. Download our podcast and take VOA Asia with you. Let's hear from you. VOA Asia Facebook, our email is voaasia@voanews.com. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, our engineer, Dan Crafton. The managing editor is Diane Gao and the VOA Asia team. Now, Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard all gathered right now in the same studio. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Enjoy your day.